The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. 1 minute till the weekend. And what a crazy, crazy day this is. Oh, my God, there's so much going on. Over in the House of Representatives, they are voting ostensibly to get Marjorie Taylor Greene off of the committees that she has been, for some reason, placed on. And this is going on and going on and going on. They are holding these votes that are taking forever because they are doing voting by proxy for all the House members who are not in the who aren't in the chamber at the time because of COVID. So that's happening. Over on the Senate side, they have begun the vote-a-rama. The vote-a-rama, yes, is in full swing. And I think we're having a streaming problem because I don't see anybody in the chat room. And I usually do on YouTube, I'm talking about anyway. Where is everybody? I know participants. Will this work? No. I'm not seeing anybody. I know you're there. I can see the numbers, but hopefully we'll get it fixed. We got a really, really busy show today, and we're going to just jump right in with our guests. I don't think have heard our Florida theme song, but it goes. Oh, sorry, that's the audio from the House chamber where they're voting, or the Senate chamber where they're voting. Here is our Florida theme song. Boy. Okay, so that's my theme song for Florida because we do everything backwards. It's Florida for a reason, but I'm happy to bring on two of my I guess. Oh, and hold on, why do we have audio coming back? Where is that coming from? Oh man, it's not coming from there. It's coming.
Everybody, I know a participant.
All right. Best laid plans. For some reason, there shouldn't be any audio coming. Oh, I bet I know where it's coming from. Give me 1 second. I need to turn off, I hope, the audio coming from here, perhaps? From here. I don't know. That's not going to work. All right. You know what? I
here is our
that doesn't work with the echo. Everything is off kilter today. My guests must think, oh shit, this is really amateur hour here, isn't it? I'm going to try one other thing because I can't bring this in like this. You know what? You guys are just going to be, I think, audio only because otherwise, I'm. You know what?
Oh.
No, either way I bring you up, I'm going to have this audio problem. Where is that coming from? That's so weird. I'll tell you what. Let me play something for you while I try to figure out where the audio is coming from. So while I try to figure out the problem, best laid plans and all that shit. Everybody, I'm so sorry. I thought I was right on top of everything today, and I got nothing working right here. I do have a video that I can play for you while I try to figure this out. So let me do it this way. let me tell you who's on the line anyway, while I try to figure this out and walk and chew gum at the same time. We have Michael Calderon. Michael Calderon happens to be the president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. And let me take this out of here, and then maybe I can bring up your audio, and you can talk to me. And let's see, will this work?
Let me play something.
No, I still have audio coming back. That's so weird. There's no reason in the world. Now I see it. All right, I screwed this up. All right, you guys, I can actually come to you now, because as soon as I pull this down, man, oh man, it's one of those days, isn't it? All right, can I start over? Let's pretend I'm starting over now. All right. On the line with us is Michael Calderon, of the president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, I believe, the Florida Progressive Democratic Caucus. Michael, what is it called?
It is the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida.
Okay. I always get mixed up with that. And you've taken over for my friend Susan Smith, who used to be the president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Right.
And Carolina Ampudia. Is that how I pronounce your name?
Carolina Ampudia.
Ampudia. And yeah. Carolina is a medical doctor. In addition to that, she is the president of Progressive Democrats of America, Broward County chapter. Is a board member of the Florida Democratic Progressive Caucus in Florida. I'm sorry, I'm so discombobulated today. I'm usually a little more together than this, but, or, you know, and some days I'm like this. What can I tell you? So the reason I asked you guys to join me today on this very weird show is to talk about what's happening. The Florida legislative session gets underway in about a month. I think it's like March 3rd or 4th that it kicks off. But already they're talking about what bills are going to be brought up. And there's one particularly heinous bill that is on the front burner. In fact, it's HB1, and its companion bill in the Senate is SB 484. Will one of you tell us what this is about? This would make protesting illegal, and I guess they could be selective about who they decide is breaking the law by protesting. Michael?
Yeah, that's the idea, Nicole. There's a lot in this bill. I mean, it's 60 pages of changes to existing law. But when you dig into the details, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the key points in there that a lot of people are concerned with is protesting could be illegal if you interpret this the way it's written.
Right. That's wild. And so I did have somewhere an article about, oh, you know what? I've got it over here. So, Carolina, you guys, do you go to Tallahassee? I know there was a protest there today. It wasn't very big. There were a few people out there protesting this. Has Florida always been so apathetic politically, or is this a new development?
It is a combination of things, but one major one is that Tallahassee happens to be all the way up north, and it's very difficult to get there. The airport is very tiny, and there's limited flights there.
And they're expensive, too. If you want to fly to Tallahassee from South Florida, it's not like you can fly to New York or Los Angeles cheaper.
Yes, it is cheaper.
Mm-hmm. So it is hard. Tallahassee is in a weird place for a state capital because it is so far. It's a big state. So, okay, that's not me. I know that's not me. All right. So I asked you guys to do a little bit of research. What I can find is, it's a combating public disorder bill. That's the technical name of it. It's also known as the anti-riot bill. It was passed by the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee last week and will be reviewed by two more committees before it hits the floor. But does anything happen before the House, before the legislative session begins in March?
Yes, it's being evaluated in the committees that you mentioned. And the other thing that is happening is that the public is becoming aware of that and opposing it. And this is the perfect time for people to call in their representatives and to raise awareness of this bill and to oppose it, so that when time comes for the voting, our legislators have a chance of doing what they're supposed to do, which is following what the people that elected them want.
Do you think our elected representatives actually represent what the people want? I ask that because Florida has many more registered Democrats than Republicans, and yet our legislature is overly populated by Republicans. So I don't think they really represent us. Do you guys?
No, I don't.
No.
No. So, Michael Calderon, so let me ask you this. For the listeners to know, a few weeks ago, I had Ryler Calabrese on to talk about the project, something that I've been chomping at the bit to talk about for months since this all started unraveling. And the listeners know now, Mitchell Stolberg is the one who brought me in, and then, you know, he died, which sucks on so many levels. I still can't believe he's not here. But so Rye came on and we talked about the project and what was the goal to do a sort of a progressive takeover of the Florida Democratic Party. And we weren't successful in that on that end, but we were successful in getting a number of progressive precinct committee people, which is what I became, in and some county representatives and stuff. Can one of you tell us what the final outcome of the project was here in Florida? And then maybe, I don't know if you guys know, what happened in Arizona just this week?
Well, let me talk a little bit about the top-level wins.
Okay.
Like you said, the goal was to get more progressives in positions of power within the Florida Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And while the result wasn't a complete takeover, we did get several allies elected to national Democratic committee seats, to DNC positions.
Right.
We have three active members of the NMU project, as well as some other allies who are part of the elected group there. So the fact that Tomas Kennedy, Nadia Ahmad, and Sanjay Patel are now DNC members from Florida is two more progressive DNC members than Florida has ever had before.
Right.
So I'll count that as a win.
Okay, that is a win. That's definitely a win. And it got some people who would normally not participate in the system, as it were, to participate. I mean, I've been on a number of calls, and quite a few of the people who participated in this project, I mean, as we know, you guys all came out of, mostly out of Bernie Sanders organizing or groups, not me, us, and Bernie groups. And many of them don't consider themselves Democrats. They consider themselves Democratic socialists, like Bernie Sanders. And they would not get involved in Democratic Party politics because they feel the party doesn't represent them. This was an attempt to get inside and make the party more progressive. It's using the inside and outside strategy, something that I learned many, many years ago from Tim Carpenter, who was the original head of Progressive Democrats of America. Because I've been doing this for a long time. He used to come on the air with me and talk about the inside-outside strategy all the time. And he passed away probably 10 years ago. And PDA, thankfully, has gone on. And you guys know. So now, Florida wasn't the only place doing this. And I just saw something in the group chat about Arizona. And Arizona's state Democratic Party chair is a real progressive who came out of this project, huh? Do you guys know about that?
A similar project, but the Florida project is independent.
Right, right, but a similar project. As Rye told us, there were other groups around the country doing similar things, each one operating on its own, but they had a similar kind of thing, and they got a lot of national positions, and they got a progressive in the Democratic Party chair of Arizona position. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And let me back up a little bit, because the positions that we got for the DNC are not our only win. We had also 16 people that were elected for the SEC. And we have also 1,000 precinct committee people that were elected through our project.
And that's huge.
That's a huge win.
Right. And, we still have some problems. I know the last Broward County, we're in Broward, the Broward County Democratic Party meeting, everything's done on Zoom right now because of COVID. It was more a lecture than a meeting. There was, all the participants, mics were muted and everything, so they couldn't participate. It wasn't really a meeting. Do you know if they've addressed that? Is that something we're going to have some say in how it progresses going forward? Because there's another meeting coming up, I think next Tuesday, and I'm not sure if I'm going to go.
Well, there is an area leader election coming up, so I certainly hope you will participate there. In terms of future meetings, I honestly don't know. I hope that they're going to be more participatory. Coming off of a major election, it's no surprise that it's more of a lecture. People are taking a break. They're less inclined to want to get into the nitty gritty of knocking on doors and what it really takes to be a precinct committee person.
Right.
But we don't have a lot of time to waste. And so, if we don't start in the next month or two, actually getting down to the details, certainly once area leaders are elected, we're wasting time. We've got a lot of organizing to do in Broward.
Absolutely. So our little group will continue organizing on our own and do whatever work we can from the inside to push the party in the right direction, but still push progressive programs and ideas and things separate from them. So in that vein, what do we do to stop this HB1? The legislature is filled with Republicans, most more Republicans than Democrats, as I said, even though we outnumber them in terms of registrations, which doesn't make sense. What can we do to affect this? Do we just get on the phone and call our state representatives and senators? What do we do?
Right now, that's the best thing that we can do, and call on the attention and try to educate the public, because there's a lot of things in this bill that are considered unconstitutional. It's not just that it would limit your chances for gathering and protesting, mm-hmm. but it's an intimidation bill that is going to target the most people of color.
Of course.
Black people and people of color. And contrary to what the governor wanted to do earlier this month, actually, no, last month, he was pointing it as a response to other actions that happened in other parts of the country. And what happened was that this is a direct response for the Black Lives Matter protests that we had. All of them in Florida were peaceful to a
yep.
certain degree.
Right.
There has not been a killing or during these protests. There was no person that died during the protests in Florida.
No,
he wants you to believe that it was just so chaotic, and because he's bringing imaginary and information from other parts of the country and wants to use that and inflame it with the vocabulary that he used. If your listeners go on and watch the video of him announcing the bill, you can understand what I'm trying to say. He called on the Antifa types.
Yep.
He talks about the carousel of getting arrested during a protest and being just bailed out. And he talks about us as making a mockery of the judiciary process.
Yeah.
And that is not what's going on.
And are you talking about our illustrious governor, moron death sentence?
Yes.
Yeah.
He also talks about the police as the victims. And that is actually not true. It's changing the narrative completely. And the reason that people were protesting in the first place was because of police brutality and because of the unjust treatment that Black people have gotten, Black people and people of color have gotten in this state, mm-hmm. in the hands of police.
Gotcha. And look, this is happening all over the country. Similar bills are being introduced, but what we do, you know, what is sort of unsaid that we need to keep repeating is that the prosecution of protesters is very selective on the part of law enforcement, as we've seen the reaction to Black Lives Matter protests, where thousands are arrested, and then you look at the white supremacist Proud Boys crazy, you know, siege on the Capitol, where the police even helped people down the steps as they were leaving the building, and no one was arrested on site. And somebody said, yeah, but they made like 150 arrests. Yeah, 150 arrests of how many people were there trying to overthrow the government, violently doing a violent insurrection in the Capitol, and people died and others were, their lives were threatened. There are other cops, you know, we hear about the ones who died, but there was another cop who's losing an eye. Three of them lost fingers. I mean, people were really, really hurt. Yet, you know, all you hear these people like Governor Death Sentence talk about is Antifa and Black Lives Matter without, you know, so justice is not equal around here. So there's selective prosecution. And that's the problem with these bills. If they were really crackdowns on riots, on riotous insurrections like what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, that would be one thing. But this is a tool to to stop peaceful protests because they don't want us on taking to the streets. And that's what's so horrible about this.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a curious fact?
Yes.
The bill was created by DeSantis during September last year, but it was introduced on January 6th, which is the day of the riots.
Oh, how interesting. Why does that not surprise me? You know, this is just typical. This man is just horrendous in every aspect of life, from fucking up the vaccine distribution to this, the lies. He wants to be mini Donald Trump. Why? I don't know. But, in the campaign, he dressed his kid in a MAGA onesie, his little baby. I mean, that's child abuse, if you ask me. So we need to do everything we can to stop this. And I don't know that we can, again, because, we screwed up here in Florida. We once again elected a Republican legislature. And the thing that makes it so bad is this year, well, in the 2020 election results, that's who the people elected. They're the ones who get to do the redistricting based on the new census numbers that are also going to be screwed up because it was Trump's administration that did the census and screwed it up so terribly. So we're in bad shape for the next 10 years. We have to deal with this. So we have to figure out ways, not only here in Florida, but around the country, for progressives to organize to fight back. And I'm not talking about fight in the way Donald Trump ordered his lemmings to go to the Capitol and fight. I'm talking about fight back with peaceful protest, by making phone calls, by organizing, by voting. How else do we fight back, you guys? You're the ones who are the organizers. I'm not.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the things that this bill does and okay. How we might be able to convince people that this is a mistake.
Okay.
So, and two things in particular. Carolina's already talked a little bit about the fact that, it's a crackdown on peaceful protest. Ultimately what that means is more people going to jail. That's not the right message, especially if people are not violent, not causing problems other than traffic jams, which is basically the heart of, part of this bill. If you're blocking the street in a protest, then, you're now breaking the law. The other piece of this is that the bill gives the governor the authority to override city police budgets. So if your city decides, rather than raise your taxes, we're going to lower police budgets.
Uh-huh.
Now anybody can appeal that to the governor and he can say, no, I'm sorry, city, you can't do that.
Right.
You have to spend the money. So that means it's going to force cities to raise property taxes. Put more people in jail. You require cities to maintain or increase police budgets. That money has to come from somewhere. It doesn't come out of thin air. It's going to come from state and city budgets. The only way they can get that is through property taxes.
Yeah. Right. And again, there's some provisions in the legislature that make it hard to divert funds away from police. There was the story from the other day from Rochester, New York, of the little 9-year-old girl who they pepper sprayed. As somebody I've been pepper sprayed in the Broward County Jail by a Broward sheriff's deputy who was the guard for no reason at all. I know what it feels like to get pepper spray in your eyes. They did this to a 9-year-old girl. There was no reason for it because she was having a mental episode. She was having a mental health episode and they called the police. That doesn't work anymore. We need, if the 911 operator can't divert the call to a social services department where somebody who understands how to deal with someone having an emotional issue, instead they send the police, and the police, all they know how to do is react with force. We're going to keep having these problems over and over again. That's why people talk about defunding the police, not to say take the money away from law enforcement. It's saying to divert it so that in a situation like this, there's a licensed social worker who can go out and deal with the child instead of a police officer who only knows how to use pepper spray or a gun. Do I have that right?
You've got that absolutely right. And so, if this passes, what I see happening is, you know, cities and police agencies are going to, you know, essentially be forced to expand the remit of the police department if they can't move that funding from, you know, police to social services. Well, social services is going to have to get baked into law enforcement.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. You know, it's not the focus. It's not what people are, you know, best at doing. If you allow people to specialize, you know, hopefully, you know, the theory behind that is they will be better at their jobs.
Right.
But, you know, if you require them to take on more responsibilities, as we have, then, you know, look at the consequences.
Right. Carolina, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I also wanted to bring attention to another thing that the bill does, and it's that it's going to increase the penalization of certain things that are considered crimes. So, for example, for this bill, if you are in a protest and you're a peaceful protester and something happens nearby, mm-hmm. you're also liable, and you could face 5 years of incarceration.
Oh, so my God.
You're brought to jail. The bill eliminates the chances for bailing out. So you would have to be proven innocent. Okay, so during that whole time, you're sitting in jail.
Mm-hmm.
If the altercation happens to be where there were more than 10 people present, and this is an analogy and it's an example that was used by the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to be with 10 other protesters, you could be facing up to 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Which is the same that in Florida, it is the penalty for a sexual assault.
Wow. See, they want to be able to scapegoat liberals, progressives, Democrat, whatever you want to call us, people on the left, people who are not marching in lockstep under, you know, Air Trump, who they're still behind for whatever reason. It's just insane. So that's why this bill is so bad. And again, I'm bringing it up because it's not only Florida. These bills are being introduced all over the country. And I should get Lisa Graves back on the phone on the show. I probably will next week because she was a deputy Attorney General, United States Attorney General, years ago. And I should get her on to talk about the impeachment, which starts next week. But she can also address this because she did her previous organization that she ran did all this ALEC exposure. They exposed ALEC for what they are. And they wrote this legislation that then they would share with legislatures all over the country whose, you know, state legislatures would introduce it as their own. But they were these boilerplate bills that ALEC wrote for the states. It's how they propagated this right wing legislation throughout the country. So this is happening everywhere. This is their attempt to silence us, to keep us from protesting, to keep us from doing what we do peacefully, what they do violently, because it's opposite world. Because everything.
And at the same time, it protects the vigilantes and those people that go to these protests and actually cause the chaos.
Yeah.
Right. So you probably heard of protests where people got run over by anti-protest.
Right. People. And now running over protesters is legal. This is the kind of stuff they're doing. So, you guys, I got to run because I've got my Howie Klein, my standing guest every Thursday at the bottom of the hour. And I lost our first few minutes with my technical incompetence. But I want to thank you so much for being here today. And I'm going to invite you back on to talk Florida, maybe right around when the session starts, talk about things that are happening here that we can take some action on, I hope. So, Carolina Ampudia and Michael Calderon. I hope I didn't butcher your name too badly. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your input.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. Howie Klein is coming up while I try to get discombobulated. While I try to figure out what the hell I've got going on here, let me share this with you. It's the latest offering from Midas Touch, with some assist from Bette Midler, or maybe it's the other way around. Here we go.
Cruz and Holly, are conductors on the treason trolley, starting insurrections. the only way they get erections.
The president wants us to do this, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Add Sad Rudy, Dim Jim Jordan, plus McCarthy, all we need's a warden. Catering to haters and patriots who vote for traitors. They don't care if they're repulsive, oh my God, and disrespected. All they want's to get their lying asses reelected. Cruz and Holly, please expel them or we're screwed, by golly. Here's our chance to rout them and end their squeal, to stop the steal, and we'll be great again with all them. They suck.
That they do.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
All right, why is this?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole Sandler.
I am having one weird day. Just, it's one of those gremlin-y days. My video is, the sync is off, which I had a feeling was going to happen. I'm just having all kinds of issues. So I apologize in advance for anything I screw up in the next 30 minutes.
Probably not you screwing it up, though, is it?
I don't know. It's, you know, it is what it is. Technical problems, which happens to me about twice a week at least. So, you know, it's par for the course. I thought before the show starts, I think I'm all set. Everything's right. And then 5 o'clock hits and I hit the buttons and it's like, whoa, no, my YouTube is screwed up. It looks like people are in there, but I can't see the chat. So I don't know if it's working or not. But yeah, it looks like people are there. I had guests on Zoom for the first segment that I couldn't get the audio working right. It's one of those days. And maybe it's because I sat and listened to Marjorie Taylor Greene speak for 10 minutes earlier today, and my brain is fried. It's the only thing I can figure.
Well, take it like this. A Republican member of Congress, after listening to her, said to Fox, they told Fox, and Fox reported this, she is batshit crazy.
Did they say who said it?
No, they didn't want to say who said it. So, I mean, there's a chance it was like, you know, one of the usual suspects, like Adam Kinzinger.
Right.
But the thing is, if it was Kinzinger, he wouldn't have asked for anonymity.
That's
he
would, right.
He's been saying that stuff about her all the time.
That's right. Well, the interesting thing is this morning, so there, you know, there it's split screen. It's like five split screens. Maybe that's why I'm so off kilter today. But the in the House, they did two things, or was it? Yes, that was yesterday. They had they were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, but they were also talking about Liz Cheney, who, you know, she did the unconscionable and voted to impeach Donald Trump for inciting insurrection at the Capitol, which he did. I mean, she did the right thing there. And they're talking about drumming her out of leadership and kicking her out of Congress. Well, they took a vote. But they had secret ballots. Usually we see how they all vote. This time it was...
No. This is a Republican-only vote.
Right, okay.
So it wasn't the whole House voting on
right.
this. It was just
the Republican caucus.
So they can do secret ballots. They don't release who does these things.
Gotcha. So it was a secret ballot. And go figure, yeah. 61 of their membership voted against her, but they overwhelmingly voted to keep her in place. So when it's secret, if they had to do that publicly,
secret ballot, they could say what they really think.
Right.
Although one guy, I'm sure you know this already, well, even though it was a secret ballot, one guy refused to vote and he just voted present.
Which really, and I said it's got to be Kevin McCarthy because he's got no balls. It had to be McCarthy. Who else would vote present on a secret ballot?
Someone really dumb.
Someone really dumb, as I said, Kevin McCarthy. But then again, I listened to some of the debate today on Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the way they're bending over backwards to defend this woman is just beyond. And so instead of Kevin McCarthy doing the right thing yesterday and saying, you know what, just like we did with Steve King, who said these horrendous things, we're going to remove her from these committees because she does not belong there. They're giving her cover. And so they're right. forcing a vote.
This is a strictly political thing, and they had to like weigh their options. And what they did is they really sacrificed the Republicans who were in swing districts. Most of these Republicans are in gerrymandered, deep red districts, and voting in her favor is easy for them. In fact, it's a good thing for them. Those are the people who McCarthy is super serving, which is shocking because normally he would super serve the ones who are endangered. And those are the people who are in trouble because if they vote to kick her off the committees, which is going to happen, the vote is going to happen soon, I guess, in a few minutes probably. If they vote to kick her off, then the Republican base will turn on them and they may be primaried. And if they decide, if they vote to allow her to stay, then independents and moderates will turn on them. So these people are screwed no matter what happens. So the Republicans would have been much better off to serve these people by having a secret ballot and just take her off the committee the way they did with Steve King. But they didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
They offered the Democrats a deal.
Yeah.
Which was, let's just take her off the budget committee. Let's just take her off the education committee and leave her on the budget committee.
Right, and we'll put her on another committee instead.
And
we can put her on another committee, like to replace the education committee. No, even that's not okay. And it just doesn't
and the Democrats
make sense.
No, they offered Hoyer the deal, and he said no.
Right, exactly. So it's nuts. Now, over on the Senate side, they have started the Voterama. This is a crazy busy day. Maybe that's why I'm just out of whack. But so they started the ball rolling on Bernie's budget bill, which is the COVID relief bill, the $1.9 trillion bill that they're going to have to go it alone via reconciliation because the Republicans refused to participate. They went to Biden with $600 billion, and he said that's not enough. Howie, you've got to say,
it's pretty close, isn't it?
No, it's not even a third. And so, I need you to do this. I know I'm not the biggest Joe Biden fan either, but so far he's doing okay. There are a few things we can nitpick
about.
I wrote
about that the other day, and the reason he's okay is because he realizes that he's not competent, and he's not interfering, and he's letting Ron Klain run the show.
And Ron Klain,
maybe other people who are part of the decision-making process, maybe Kamala Harris is part of it, maybe Obama is saying things, maybe there are a few others who have input, but I honestly believe that Ron Klain is calling the shots. This was confirmed by Republicans who met with Biden. Klain sat there, and everything they said, he would shake his head yes or no. Biden would look at the way he was shaking his head and say yes or no,
really?
Based on what Klain said. So I really think Klain is calling the shots. I think he's a tough guy. He's never run for office. He's never thought about whether you get votes or not. It's not his thing. So he's coming at it from a different perspective. He redefined the word bipartisan, and shockingly, the media picked up on it, and they're now, a lot of the media now talking about bipartisan the way Klain wants it talked about, which is a really good way. He's saying bipartisan means that the country is for it. It doesn't mean that a bunch of people who are getting paid off by special interests or who have partisan agendas doesn't mean that they're for it or not for it. That's not what it's about. Bipartisan means that this country is for it. And he said, you know, all the polls show this country is for this bill, and that's the way it's going to go. In fact, what a poll that came out today, which I tweeted, showed that most Americans, like a huge number, are more afraid that the Senate is going to stiff them and make the amount less money than who are afraid that they're spending too much. In other words, regular normal people say not enough money is being spent, okay. Not that too much money is being spent,
right.
Which is what the Republicans are saying. So Klain is saying that's bipartisan when you have that kind of support from Democrats, independents, and Republicans around the country. It's not about, like, who's sitting in office now. That's not what bipartisan is.
Right. Well, that's a good way to frame it. I like that. I'll use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the mainstream media was using it today.
Really?
Which shocked me. I was so happy to see it.
That's good. I like that. So I got to tell you, I've been watching.
I think Klain is going to turn out to be, as going back to your original question,
yeah.
Except you called it Biden. I think Klain is going to turn out to be, if it keeps going the way it is now, in its early days,
right.
But if it keeps like this, he's going to go down as as a chief of staff on a level with Baker, James Baker.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
James Baker was basically the president while Ronald Reagan was in the office.
And Ronald Reagan, we know, had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the way this is going to go down, uh-huh. Klain will be running the show, he'll be a great president.
He's turning out to be a lot more progressive than I thought he was. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Biden's not making the calls. That's why. I mean, Biden, the deal that the Republicans are offering,
uh-huh.
that's right up Biden's alley. I mean, Biden was in the Senate. Biden would be Joe Manchin now. Biden would be Kyrsten Sinema now. That's who he would be if he was in the Senate and had his faculties. Instead, he's letting a more progressive, pragmatic person make the calls.
Perhaps. Or there's the other thing. I think he watched in horror what happened over the last 4 years and said, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure this doesn't happen again. Can I just play for you something that I heard as I was flipping back and forth between C-SPAN channels on my computer? And this popped up. It was, you know, they do the call-in show in the morning and other times throughout the day. And I don't know where they find the people to be their hosts. I don't know who the guy was who was on the air when this guy from Delaware called in, but I have to play
this. What channel are we talking about?
C-SPAN.
C-SPAN, okay.
Okay, so this is the guy on C-SPAN taking the call. Republican line. Let's go to the Republican line and talk to whoever it is from Delaware. Howie, prepare yourself. And I especially want you to pay attention to the way the host responds or reacts to the statement that this man makes. All right, here's the call.
John is in Wilmington, Delaware,
John.
Republican. John, what are your thoughts?
Well, I support President Trump. I think he's got to get back in there in that White House. And he can't get people like Marjorie Taylor Greene out of office. We need women like her in there. Otherwise, these Democrats are going to keep eating the babies and cutting faces off of them. We need President Trump. We elected him. And it's time to get back in there and do his job.
John, what do you think about members who voted against President Trump when it came to that impeachment vote on the House floor? And none bigger than the third Republican in the leadership of the House, that would be Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
Well, I don't know much about her. I think her father was a little bit better than her in there. I think maybe she should be expelled.
That's John in Delaware. Bill, independent.
Then he goes to the next call. So the statement about the Democrats eating babies and cutting their faces off, That just goes right on by.
Well, what are you going to say? I mean, you know, I mean, yes, you should say, well, you know, that isn't true, sir.
But instead, he asks him his opinion on something else. I mean, really, once he says the Democrats are eating babies and cutting their faces off, that's all I need to hear. I really don't need to hear his opinion on the Democrats that voted to impeach Trump.
The Republicans.
The Republicans. Anybody.
I think this call was like a setup, or I don't think that was a real call.
I
can't imagine that someone is that stupid. if he was that stupid, has he dialed the phone?
I don't know. And how is he watching C-SPAN? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I it had to have been a joke. That silly accent.
He sounded like he was in Arkansas. The stupidity out there. Well, did you hear Marjorie Taylor Greene today? She's from another planet. Well, she might be, where they have the Jews have the space lasers.
No. She wants to go. She wanted to be on the science committee, and they wouldn't put her on because she wants to do an investigation into where the pedophilia sex sex colony is.
Well, she was talking today. First, she gives her little bio. It's my background. I'm a successful businesswoman. I know my stuff, but I never ever thought I'd get into politics.
Millionaire and addicted to steroids, anabolic steroids.
She probably is. But here,
she is.
You want to hear why she got into politics? This is what she said.
I never ever considered to run for Congress or even get involved in politics.
No.
As a matter of fact, I wasn't a political person until I found a candidate that I really liked, and his name is Donald J. Trump when he ran for president.
Wait, gets better.
To me, he was someone I could relate to, someone that I enjoyed his plain talk.
Really?
Not the offensive things.
Not the offensive things.
Just the way he talked normally. And I thought, finally, maybe this is someone that will do something about the things that deeply bother me, like the fact that we're so deeply in debt that our country has murdered over 62 million people in the womb.
Wait, okay, we're so deeply in debt that we've murdered over 62 million people in the womb. I don't even know where to start with that one. And Donald Trump, I love the things he says. Well, not the offensive things, which is everything. I'm watching this and I'm laughing hysterically and I'm thinking, I don't think this is supposed to be funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, she may know it's funny. I don't know. I mean, she's making a fortune from this.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, she's already very rich. She's a multimillionaire. She owns a gym. She, like I said, she took way too many steroids.
Oh, my God.
And what she's doing is she said every time there's liberal outrage, another $1 million in small donor contributions come into her campaign.
Oh, my God.
Now there's a lot of talk that and at first I thought it was a joke, but now it looks like it's real. She's going to run against Warnock next year. That was a special election. His seat is up next year. She's going to be the nominee of the Republican Party for that seat.
Okay, well then you know what it's going to come down to? The
Warnock
crazy
again.
White supremacists and the black women of Georgia. And I'll put my money on the black women of Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think that she would have any chance to. She'll win, her crazy area. But I was looking at it county by county, and Georgia has changed. Georgia, I'm not saying the Republican can't win. That's not what I'm saying. A Republican can win. But a psychopath like her,
right.
No way.
Right.
Ain't going to happen.
No, because she's not a Republican.
Badly. I'm sure Warnock is like sitting there thinking, yes, let her run,
please.
Let her run. Please let her run.
Absolutely. Well, last week we all saw the video that surfaced from a few years ago. Look, we're coming up on the third anniversary of the Parkland shooting. And, that's my neighborhood. That's right down the street from me. And so I take that really personally. And the video showing her, following David Hogg down the street on the way to the Capitol from a couple of years ago in Washington as he's, went to talk to senators about gun control. And she's just harassing him and haranguing him and going on and on and on. We all saw the video that she gets up there today. And I understand it's illegal to lie on the floor of Congress. And she did just that because she said this about school shootings and about David Hogg.
You see, school shootings are absolutely real.
Really?
And every child that is lost, those families mourn it. I understand how terrible it is because when I was 16 years old in 11th grade, my school was a gun-free school zone.
Oh,
and one of my schoolmates brought guns to school and took our entire school hostage.
So you think everyone
right
should
down
have
the
a
hall
gun.
From my classroom. I know the fear that David Hogg had that day.
Really?
I know the fear that these kids have. And this is why, and I say this sincerely with all my heart, because I love our kids, every single one of your children, all of our children. I truly believe that children at school should never be left unprotected. I believe they should be just as protected as we were with 30,000 National Guardsmen.
Oh, please.
Our children are...
Okay, that's enough of her. So, Howie, you know what I say to her, to people like her, when I hear shit like that? I have a song for them. Did you ever hear the song that I have for people like her?
Please play it.
It goes like this. That's all I can play without getting copyright violated, but it gets the message across. Yeah, you know, I'm in a mood today. Oh, man. So the Senate is going, I'm going back and forth because this is how I've been all day through the C-SPAN screens on my computer. The Senate is doing the Voterama. As of last night, there were 550 amendments to this bill to get the reconciliation thing going so that they can pass the COVID relief bill with just 51 votes. 550 amendments that they are going to vote on probably all night long. So if, you know, you find yourself awake in the middle of the night, like I usually do, you can flip on C-SPAN and watch.
Wow. Do they actually have to vote on all 550?
Yes.
Does each one get a hearing and
some debate. Like I heard one that they introduced the amendment and it was actually a bipartisan amendment. Sherrod Brown was on it and a Republican. I don't even remember. And I honestly don't even remember what it was about, but they agreed on it and they did it by unanimous consent. Everybody said aye. Nobody said nay. So it passed. They went on to the next one, but they have 550 of them. Here, let me read to you what it says. The story that I have. Okay. As of Wednesday night, almost 550 amendments had already been filed with more expected. The marathon could begin Thursday afternoon. It did. And continue into Friday morning. Republicans are laying potential traps as they try to get Democrats on record with controversial issues. Go figure. With the Republicans back in the minority, their ability to force votes is limited, making this week's free-for-all a rare political opportunity over at least the next 2 years. So this is their last ditch effort, and they're gonna do whatever they can to stretch it out to make Democrats go on the spot, sort of like, well, they did to themselves in the House, where they all have to go on the record now of either supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind those kinds of things.
No, I don't mind that.
I like when people go on the record myself.
Right. Well, so do I. But this is going to be an all-nighter. Apparently, they're ordering food, and they are going to be there all night because they need to get the bill passed tomorrow.
How it can't be like all week or all month.
Because
I don't get that.
Because it has to do with the getting the bill for the COVID relief bill. I forget what they're calling it, the $1.9 trillion bill to go. And in order to do that, they've got to get through the first hurdle tomorrow, like by the end of the week.
It has to be done by tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I have here. Yeah,
because otherwise they could just, you know, keep on putting amendments in, you know, till the end of time.
Yeah, now I can't find the rest of that story. But yeah, no, it has to be done. It's got to be in place by tomorrow is what the thing is. So they have to do this tonight.
Well, let them do it. No one's going to pay any attention anyway.
That's true. And so now the latest is Joe Manchin said he's on board. I don't know if Kyrsten Sinema actually committed to voting with the rest of the Democrats. This could all rest on her. And you've been saying for years, Howie, that she's even worse than Manchin. She's the worst so-called Democrat in the Democratic caucus in the Senate.
She is the worst. I'm a little bit fearful that her colleague from Arizona, Mark Kelly, could wind up being just as bad. But
really?
We'll see.
Wow. Okay.
But you know, it is political malpractice if someone hasn't spoken to her and gotten her on board. I mean, they certainly, you know, I think I told you this, but when Kamala Harris went to put pressure on Joe Manchin, she went and spoke to the editorial board of the biggest paper in his state, and she went on, I think she went on radio. I don't know if it was TV or radio, but I think it was radio in his state. He was gobsmacked by it.
She went on a TV show.
That she did the same thing the same day in Arizona.
Right.
She went to the Arizona Republic, virtually, and had a meeting with them, and then she went on TV.
Yeah.
And you know, a cinema must certainly have gotten that same message. But the difference is that Manchin, I don't like Manchin, and I don't agree with any of his policies, but he's a rational player. She's not. She's irrational. She's insane.
Right.
Things do, and I mean literally, she's insane. She is literally a crazy person. I've told you many, many times, I know her. I've known her before she was ever elected to Congress. This is a psychopath.
Uh-huh.
Out of her mind.
Yep.
And she is, if they haven't gotten her down to agree, they're going to be in for a big, horrible shock.
Oh, God. Well, I dread that. I dread that. You know who else is certifiably insane?
Marjorie Taylor.
Yes, she is. But I'm talking about, you know, her, the guy who made her get into politics because she loves the way he talks, except for the offensive stuff. Donald Trump. Did you hear about the letter he sent today to SAG-AFTRA?
Yeah.
Let me just share this for those who didn't hear it. Donald Trump resigned from SAG-AFTRA today because they were launching, I guess, an investigation into some of his things that are against the rules. The president of SAG-AFTRA is Gabrielle Carteris, who used to be on 90210, that actress. Anyway, Donald Trump writes to her and says, "Dear Miss Carteris, I write to you today regarding the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my union membership. Who cares? While I'm not familiar with your work, I'm very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, and television shows including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, and of course, one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few. I think that's all of them. I've also greatly helped the cable
news." Wasn't he in that wonderful one about Christmas with that little kid?
That was Home Alone 2, which he referenced already. He
that
referenced
one, oh, okay.
every one
I
of
mean, that
his
was a cameo,
credits.
That wasn't acting.
And yes, that's one of the credits that he listed here. And he goes on, "I've also greatly helped the cable news television business, said to be a dying platform with not much time left until I got involved in politics, and created thousands of jobs at networks such as MSDNC and fake news CNN, among many others." A comedy writer couldn't have written this better. "Which brings me to your blatant attempt at free media attention to distract from your dismal record as a union. Your organization has done little for its members." I'll beg to differ on that. "And nothing for me besides collecting dues and promoting dangerous, un-American politics."
Remember that counts.
"Dangerous, un-American policies and ideas, as evident by your massive unemployment rates and lawsuits from celebrated actors who even recorded a video asking, 'Why isn't the union fighting for me?' I've never seen that. These, however, are policy failures. Your disciplinary failures are even more egregious. I no longer wish to be associated with your union. As such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation from SAG-AFTRA. You have done nothing for me." As for them not helping their members, let me say this. I have a pension coming that I could probably start collecting on now, but I'm going to wait because the longer I wait, the more I get each month as I'm old and unable to work because of my time working as a SAG radio person. So they've done a lot for me. My golden years, I'll be okay because I have a pension coming from SAG. And as for Donald Trump, he says,
I'm not a baby.
Yeah, he is a big fucking baby. Anyway, I posted that and somebody wrote back, "Is that real? That can't be real." I said, "It's absolutely
real." And the other thing is, who wrote it? He didn't write. Obviously, he didn't write that. There's no chance in the world that he could write that.
Jared probably wrote it for him, or Ivanka. Yeah. Who, by the way, we learned edited medical documents from the CDC trying to tone down their recommendations for COVID. Ivanka Trump? The more we learn about this administration, the more mortified I've become. Oh, make the nightmare.
I wonder when she announces her run against Marco Rubio. That's gonna be the most fun race of the year.
Oh, I can't wait. Gee, the crazy and Florida goes together like, you know, I don't know. My brain's fried. Howie Klein, next week we'll be in the midst of impeachment. So that should be fun. And I'll talk to you then.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Everybody, I'm so sorry for my discombobulation today. I'll have my shit together tomorrow. I hope. We'll try anyway. All right. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, David Dayan on the show. See you then. Bye.